Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And welcome to the Lord's House and today's message. Father, I thank you for the day that you've given us. Father, for all that you mean to us. And Father, I ask now your blessing, your anointing upon the word today as it goes forth. And Father, I come against the enemy in the name of Jesus that's trying to prevent this message from being delivered. We ask it today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Today's message is titled, The Terminal Generation. The Terminal Generation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 34, and if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there, because we're going to be dealing with Matthew a lot today. But in verse 34 of chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, he says, Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Mark 13:30 basically says the same thing, Verily, I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. And Luke 21:32, Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. You know, we're told, not only in the Bible, but in other things, when you hear it from more than one time, you need to pay attention to it. And here in three of the four Gospels, it's repeated, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now at this point, Jesus is sitting with his disciples, the Mount of Olives. They've come out of the temple, and they've asked him what's going to take place. And just a little over a week ago or so, we preached a message about the end of the age or the end of the world. And we read some of these same scriptures at that time. But I want to talk about the generation that he's speaking of here today. And let's get some understanding as to what is a generation. I looked it up, and there's a lot of controversy, I guess, as to what is considered to be a generation. And it can be anywhere from 25 to 40 years, according to most of the information that I was able to get. And in some cases, if you go back into Bible times before the time of Christ, back in those days, a generation, an entire lifetime for an individual might only be 40 years. That might have been, in some cases, the average lifespan. So it is roughly considered to be about 40 years in a generation. So I begin to ask myself, what is the life expectancy? Because I think we have to look at this based on some of the information that we have available today. The average life expectancy in 1948 was between 64 to 69 years. Now, some folks, and maybe a lot listening to me, I don't know, may already be past those years. 64 to 69 years. And I think about it. My dad was born back in the early 1900s, and he lived to be 69 years of age. I had a grandmother that was born in the 1800s, and she lived to be 95 or 96 years of age. So it kind of varies there quite a bit. The average life expectancy, and this was the last date I could find in 2007, was 77.9 years. But we look around and we read all the time of people that are living to be into their 90s, some to even living to be in past 100 years of age. But these are kind of averages. And then we have the generations. Now in the generations, we have given them titles, and I don't know who came up with the idea of giving names to various generations. But I also looked it up and found a rough guide to generational names. And if you look this up on the internet to find generational names, you'll find more than what I'm going to mention right this minute. I bet you will also find the dates somewhere vanished. And based on this one chart, which is a rough guide, it says from 1900 to 1927 was the greatest generation. 1927 to 1946, the silent generation. Then on to from 46 to 64, the baby boomers. And then from there was from 64 to 82, Generation X. Then from 82 rather, to 2000 was the millennials. And then it puts us from that into Generation Z. Well, I kind of begin to wonder how they got these names, because some of them vary as to what the name is and to what they've been called. So I found another chart with generational names. And again, they have some of the same names. The dates vary a little bit. But the other chart I found gave us another generation beginning in 2011 called Generation Alpha. But which of these is the terminal generation? Let's repeat what Jesus had to say, reading from Luke. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now all these charts, the ones I referenced here, and there is literally dozens of other charts that you can find on the internet having to do with generations, not one of them is declared to be the terminal generation. So we have to look back to the Bible again to get an idea of what Jesus was talking about and who was going to be the terminal generation. Matthew chapter 24 gives us a lot of information, and we don't have time to read all of Matthew chapter 24 today, so we're going to deal with just certain verses in it. But I do advise you to read Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, and you'll get a lot of information as to what Jesus is talking about as he goes into these discourse that he's going into here. But in Matthew 24, 37 through 38, he says, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now I want you to think about that a minute here. The days of Noah. What was going on before Noah entered into the ark? Well, the Bible very plainly tells us that things had gotten so bad that God had decided just to wipe it all out and start over. Get rid of it all. But then Noah comes to mind. Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God spared Noah, his three sons, and their wives, along with Noah's wife, and two each of all the animals, and seven of the clean animals. And I know sometimes people say, well, how did he get them all into the ark? Well, God found a way, that's all I can tell you. And most of them he probably took in were not old. They were probably young, maybe just babies as far as their lifespan that he took in. But Noah and his family were saved. They were spared from the destruction that was to come because they had found grace. He was a righteous man in God's sight. And so as he's speaking here, he's speaking of events that had taken place that the disciples right then would know what he's talking about. And I'm sure as they went out and preached some messages on what is written here, Jesus is going to come back again, and some of these things are going to take place. This is what he said is going to happen. And many were looking for Jesus to come back during their lifetime in 1st century A.D. And I know some people use that as an excuse to say, well, I've heard it so many times that it hasn't happened. But I want you to think about some of the things that Jesus had to say there, because they could not and did not take place during the 1st century A.D. They were statements that Jesus said had to happen before he could come back. And they did not happen in 1st century A.D. And as I mentioned on a previous broadcast, there were people who were saying that all of these things were fulfilled in the 1st century A.D., in and around 70 A.D. I've got news for you, folks. Some of these things could not have happened during that time frame. He spoke of events that were starting in the disciples' days, but they lead right up to our day. Jesus made it clear, as I said, that he could not return until certain events that had happened. And some of these events have played out over the past 1900 plus years. And they must occur before he can return and set up his kingdom. In 70 AD, the Romans came in. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed Jerusalem pretty much. The Jews were scattered. And for almost 2 centuries, there was no Jewish nation. It had to happen. Jerusalem once again had to be their capital before Jesus could come again. He made it abundantly clear these events must happen. So, I propose to you that the terminal generation began with those who were born in the year 1948. The year the nation of Israel is reestablished. I believe this marked the beginning of the terminal generation. Now, I know you're going to say, look, we've already passed the 70 years there. We've already passed 40 years that most people say makes up a generation. But we know that a generation lives more than 40 years today. The generation born in 1948 could live for probably another 25, 30 years. But events that have taken place beginning with 1948, I believe, mark the terminal generation and the events that will occur before the rapture of the church takes place and before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom here on planet Earth. As I said, 1948, Jerusalem is reestablished as a nation. Events that no one dreamed of happening began to fall into place. Now, some of these were already taking place, but we became more noticeable of some of them. Jesus, back in the Gospels, stated that during this period of time, there would be false Christs. And we have seen false Christs. We've seen some within the last 20 years that have caused havoc, that have caused destruction, that have caused death. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, I can't remember the exact date, there was a guy by the name of Jim Jones who led people to believe he was a Christ. He was a Messiah. As a result, almost 1,000 people died that followed after him. And there are others today. There's some right now proclaiming themselves to be not the anointed Son of God, but the appointed Son of God. That's not even scriptural, my friend. We see roars and rumors of wars. They were happening back then. They're happening today. They are happening even as I speak. We sit as a world on the verge of what could lead to World War III. Any day. It could happen before you hear this message. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes. We hear about that all over the place. Some parts of the world are experiencing abundance while others are starving. The famine not caused because the crops didn't grow. It's caused because of the government that's in existence in that nation. Venezuela, for example. Pestilence. Disease. Diseases that we've never heard of before are popping up. Earthquakes. You're all the time hearing of earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, things of that nature. Then Matthew's gospel, it also says in chapter 24, verse 10, it says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Boy, isn't that true today? There are so many people that are claiming that you offended me, that we can hardly say anything anymore because it's going to offend somebody. Here in the United States of America, we're doing some of the very things that they did under the dictatorships of Hitler and Stalin and some of these other folks, even going back into history. We're tearing down history because it offends someone. You can't do that anymore because it offends me. You can't say I'm a Christian in certain places because it offends me. You can't have prayer in schools or public places because it offends me. But it's okay if I do what I want to do. It's okay if what I do offends you. Just don't offend me. And there are people that may listen to this message that'll be offended. Well, all I've got to say is tough. Then you need to get right with God if you're being offended. False prophets. He talked about false prophets popping up in that last day. And they're out there. They're out there. It's so easy for people to run around today saying, "I'm a prophet." I get scared when I hear somebody say, "I'm a prophet." Because I want to see some proof that they're a prophet of God. Because you can make some statements and they may come true, but that doesn't necessarily make you a prophet. It may make you a false prophet. Now I know there are those out there, and I firmly believe, that there are prophets appointed by God that are out there today. But for every one of those, there's probably multiple more that are not appointed by God that are out there giving false prophecy. And we're falling for it. We're having people go to church and run up to the man and say, "Prophesy over me. Give me a word." Well, the guy's going to give you a word, whether it's from God or not. Be careful what you ask for. Matthew went on in chapter 24, verse 12, to say sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Well, all you got to look around. It's grown cold. There's more hatred than there is love. And the love that's out there is a worldly love that leads to destruction. Sin is rampant. You can't turn the television on anymore. Listen to the radio or listen to stuff on the internet without knowing that sin is rampant everywhere. I saw an interview on a local news broadcast here in Nashville, Tennessee. And the lady said, We couldn't put this program on regular radio because we'd get taken right back off. We'd get fined to death. But it's out there. All you got to do is look, and you don't have to look very far. Some of the events that were prophesied that Jesus spoke of in Matthew, Mark, and Luke could not have happened until the last 75 years, when many of them began to happen. 71 years ago, Israel became a nation. 1948. I remember my dad and one of my great uncles, who was a preacher, we'd go to visit, and they would sit around and talk about the Jews beginning to return to Israel. Israel had become a nation. They were so happy about that. The Jews were beginning to return to Israel. The end is at hand. Jesus is coming soon. It's 71 years later. He hasn't come yet. The church hasn't been raptured yet. But it's getting closer and closer as the days go by. It's going to happen. 1967, and I remember this vividly. Israel regains control of Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. It happened, folks. They went in. God delivered Israel into their hands. December 6, 2017, the United States of America, one of the most powerful countries on the face of the planet, recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, followed by several other nations who also recognized Jerusalem as the capital of the nation of Israel. Matthew 24, verse 14 also tells us, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Okay, the end couldn't come before Israel became a nation. The end couldn't come before Jerusalem became the capital of Israel. And the end could not come until the gospel was preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. It says very plainly, "And then shall the end come." So let's think about that for a few moments here. August 6th, 2011, I read an article. It was based on that, August 6th, 2011. It says, on the 6th of August, 1991, again, August the 6th, 1991, the World Wide Web became publicly available. Not all that many years ago. August 6th, 1991. We begin to reach out with what's known as the World Wide Web, the Internet. And it's available on any continent. It's available in any nation of the world. And we preach the gospel today on the World Wide Web. And it reaches out and is available basically to all 7 billion plus people who are living on the face of the earth right now. July 23rd, 1962 is marked as the birth of satellite broadcasting become widely available in the 1980s then. But the birth of satellite broadcasting began July the 23rd, 1962. Just a little over 50 years ago. Most of you listening to me, it was during your lifetime, or a good number of you listening, it was during your lifetime. Becoming widely available in the mid to late 80s. I think I've mentioned it before, but one of the high points of my secular work career was working for a company that did business with one of the largest manufacturers of satellites. And being able to take part in some of the research and some of the things that were done, and then participate in some of the events that made history. I have a plaque in my office for my participation in the satellite industry and some of the events that took place. 1980s and on, these events begin to take place. We could reach any place on planet Earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, there are numbers of well-known ministries that are on satellite television, that are on satellite radio, on the internet, that are reaching a potential audience of over 7 billion people. Now, do they all listen? I can assure you they don't all listen. But a huge number can. But they all have it available. Every nation has it available. That prophecy, that statement that Jesus made has come to pass. It's been fulfilled. The whole world can now have a witness. And it says, and then the end shall come. Now again, I want you to know I'm not setting dates, but I do believe we're taught that we can recognize the signs, we can recognize the seasons. And I'm here to tell you, I believe the rapture of the church, the tribulation period, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of the Lord of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I'm telling you right now, it's my firm belief, based on what the Word of God has to say, that there are those who are listening to this message, who are alive as this message is being delivered, that are Christians, that are born-again believers, that will witness this event firsthand. They will be the part of verse 17, the we which are alive and remain. Some of you listening to me will hear the trump. You'll see the dead in Christ being risen first. You'll go up to be with the Lord yourself and meet Him in the air. All taking place in the twinkling of an eye. Now I know there are those who teach mid-tribulation rapture, those who teach pre-wrath rapture, and I really don't understand the difference there, and others who teach post-tribulation rapture. And I don't care whichever one you teach, the time is short, no matter how you look at it. I personally firmly believe the Word of God teaches a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe we'll see some of the events building for the tribulation, and we are seeing those. The Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, the one that was prophesied to be the final, or the apostate Pope, basically they called him the last Pope, is going hand in glove with some things, trying to set up one world religion. He's trying to set up one world government. Folks, these people are on the forefront. They're on the stage right now. We're witnessing the things prophesied in the book of Revelation starting to come to pass. And I want you to be aware, folks, read the Bible. The church, after the first couple of chapters, is gone. It's not there. It's not mentioned again until Jesus comes back at the actual physical bodily return, second coming, where he sets up his kingdom in the last couple of chapters. Also, I want you to think about this. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. You could drop dead for some unknown reason at any time. Some disaster could happen and your life taken from you. There are people living in places today that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, where an act of war could take place and they could go to meet the Lord right then, their bodies awaiting that resurrection. Paul wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our soul, our spirit go to be with Him. The body goes to the grave. But they were going to get that glorified body someday when the rapture takes place. But you could die before that happens. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. Preparation for those events need to be made now. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you're living for God, then you've prepared. But there are literally millions of folks who have not prepared. Well, someday I'll do it. I'll put it off. Some say until I'm on my deathbed. But a lot of folks don't get on a deathbed. Their life is taken suddenly. It could happen. Oh, you say it's not going to happen to me, but it could. You could be in an automobile accident. A gentleman that goes to the church that my family attends was T-boned by a car coming off of the interstate. He wasn't expecting it. Fortunately, he wasn't injured. But it could have taken his life. He was prepared. But the person in the next car, if it had been them, they might not have been prepared. Preparation needs to be made now. These events are at hand. Now, when I talk about the terminal generation, I'm talking about anyone who has been born since that time. You are living during that terminal period. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen sooner than later. The question is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Oh, buying a stockpile of food. And I know there's a guy out there selling supplies for the tribulation supplies, I think is what he calls them. That's not going to help you. Oh, if you get left behind, it might help you for a while. But it's not going to help you to go up when the Lord comes. The only thing that's going to help you is to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Another verse he says, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door and let me in, I'll come in. He goes on and gives a number of other scriptures about he's standing, he's waiting. All you've got to do is invite him in. That scripture that's known by people who aren't even Christians. Many people who've never even picked up a Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16, most famous scripture in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And I want to stop right there, because the complete Jewish Bible, he says, is only unique, his one-of-a-kind Son, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never accepted him into your heart and life, I urge you to do it now, because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. This is the terminal generation. Won't you invite him into your heart and life today? Won't you ask him to come in? "Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me a part of your family. I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen."
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.